Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, folks. I'm Lila. I'm here with Dean Bell, and I will be reading from Book 6, Your Dream Vision, by Duane, a great writer. We'll also be just discussing this, and we'll be I'll be reading. And if you have any questions or any thing, please feel free to ask us, and we'll discuss it too. And then, of course, there's wonderful Kim. He comes in once in a while, and we'd be really happy to have him on our show again. So here we go. Book 6. I gave a presentation in Huntington Beach years ago, and one of the people who showed up was a lady who told me one of her dreams. I could tell the real guides had given her this experience before she came to hear me speak. The dream was rather simple, as she was out walking at night and came upon a graveyard with black iron ornate gates, as many graveyards have, especially in those scary movies. She went over and opened the gates and then proceeded to walk through the graveyard as though she were walking into a house, as she explained how casual the scene was to her. As she walked amongst the graveyard, she saw all the headstones. She also noticed there was water everywhere throughout the entire place. At some point, the experience ended. At my presentation, she said the experience was so real, and when she woke up, she couldn't forget it. She saw an advertisement for my presentation on dreams and so decided to come. Again, here is where the real sides first show a person their dream visions and then line up a meeting to confirm what they have experienced. Unfortunately, most people do not follow through. They usually go back to their personal life and continue watching something entertaining on TV. Her dream is showing her a variety of watery graveyards, which is what the earth is. This is how simple her dream was, but she couldn't see it because of her conditioning and all the phenomena in her life. So, for the most part, it meant nothing to her. Here is where life is continually providing examples and demonstrations. But who really takes the time to see and listen? These dreams can save a person's life, once properly understood. The real guides provide a lot of opportunity as they work from the real side and see all that goes on. This world is mainly based upon death, more than it is based upon a real life. As history provides this, and people constantly demonstrate, as soon as one is born, they're growing older, and so because of how one is taught here, most people will decide to chase a dream in this world that will soon vanish, instead of exploring and discovering something wonderful to save their life. Many continually risk their life and awareness to have a few pleasures with their ego instead of having a much better life and awareness by paying attention to what life is showing them all the time with their own awareness. To believe in something does sound interesting, But all that is marketed to the public to believe and only leads to death and unawareness. As the experience of the woman just mentioned, she could not see the meaning of her experience because she really had nothing to compare it to. From where I am standing, I can see all of the psychic realms and into the real universes, all the way up to the all is. So for me to see what her dream meant is simple. For her, because she is in the middle of the social structure that has no idea how to rise above it. All she sees is the front that has been built all around here and not all the bodies that have been buried under the ground. Of course, this lady will go back to her so-called normal life and do what she has always done. And as time and events pass, she will soon come into the moment when it's her time to leave this realm of experience. And what will she really know about where she is going? It's not a matter that we are to do a body count or play with the idea of being morbid here. It's simply a matter of learning to pay attention to where one is really at now. It can be a nice idea to try and make a heaven on earth for oneself, but of all those who have tried, they surely did fail. Most people think in terms of years, like 10, 20, 50, or even 100 years, being a really long time. But these are nothing compared to the foreverness each one of us will be around. All of us will always be somewhere in life because our real awareness never ends. Only the multitude of bodies that we take on and eventually will fail. There are three basic ideas in life for one to consider. First is the real universes of the all is, where there is real freedom and no darkness. Bad guys or conspiracies, because the real universes of real light and pure sound are guarded by the real universal guides. And they will not allow anyone who has not been purified with their hearts and their being to enter. Besides, those who are ingrained with the material consciousness can enter anyhow. These wondrous universes are filled with magnificent light, which is brighter and more real than the sun in the sky, as there are endless possibilities for all who have established themselves there. Well, what do you think of that? Al or Kim?
I'll go back to that woman who had the dream, and remember Tim and I were talking earlier today about the distractions we have here, in especially in America, with the TV and traffic and the noise and just everything that gets our attention, and we're no longer able to really focus or pay attention to what's going on around us, like the Indians who didn't have these distractions, so they were able to really tune in to what was going on around them and really, really survive. They were on a better survival scale. And this lady, too, seems like she's just kind of going along, and she was given the opportunity by the guides to see something more and develop it, but then she just goes back to her normal life because it doesn't seem important enough to her. that we see that the real side does give us an opportunity to see more, and she missed that opportunity, but she'll get it again somewhere down the line.
Well, but, you know, most people are just driving, you know, they go to work 8 to 5, and they go on vacations, and they feel that this is a good life. You know, they try to build a really good life here with striving up the promotional work ideas, and they get a raise, and they buy a better car or a better house, always striving, and they don't really realize that those things are just not permanent. They won't last, but they seem to feel. But most people seem to feel that that's okay. You know, they'll go to heaven, and they don't have to worry about the afterlife. You know, that they feel that that's gonna, that this is all there is, and I don't know if a lot of people are just looking, you know, and they're gonna believe in God and going to church all the time, and that's their life, and they're okay with it. Yes, I have ups and downs, but that's life too. So it just seems like they just go along, you know, day to day, following this and ups and downs and sickness and you know, what else is there? They think that this is all there is, and if you try, you know, and if something like this is presented, a new presentation, well, they just ignore it because this is all there is, and they know it. You know, everybody around them knows it. So what's the matter with you for trying to say that this isn't real?
People have been led to believe that the model that we have here has been created by themselves. I say this, that the controllers are the ones that create the model, because it assists them in keeping the herd in line for the human farming. But people think that they have had a hand in electing the president or the government. It's really kind of interesting and kind of sad in a way that, you know, well, our taxes are helping to pay for the road, new roads, and our vote counts, and I vote for the city council, and you know, I do my good deeds. You know, everything is, they think that they're the ones that are doing this, which in a way is true, but not the whole overview. The whole system has been set up for the controllers, by the controllers, very slyly and cleverly set up. So the 9-to-5 job seems normal. When the birds don't do that, they don't have a 9-to-5 job. They just do what they do, and life could be different. Life could be a whole lot different than what the model is here right now.
The thing is, I don't think people really want to change, a lot of them.
I've been thinking about that too. what you were reading about Earth being a watery graveyard in the woman's dreams seems to be the way it is. And then to earn our way out of this place, this watery graveyard we keep returning to, what are the ways to purify the heart? How do we earn our way into this real universe where those that don't have a pure heart aren't allowed to enter, or they have to keep coming back here to have lessons, experiences to get to the point where we'll purify our heart so we can be in real universes of real freedom without the authoritarians and the brutalitarians and all these things like war, disease, famine.
Well, what do you suppose it is then that why we have really looked beyond just the everyday 9-to-5 and, you know, there's something different here that you finally, and we can't look back because each lifetime is, does it come up in our new lives? We're born and we forget. That's part of it. We forget our past lives. So there's got to be something somewhere that they want to explore. It isn't the great scientists, you know, they're all into looking at new presentation. That isn't the reason. And it doesn't seem to be just the opposite end of the pole, you know, that the people that work a 9-to-5, they seem to feel that's okay. And yet some people are restless, maybe. And feel that maybe there's more to it. But those people, we are just so, you know, I'm wondering what the difference is, what motivates people to really look and to really want to change and to see what's going on besides just the 9-to-5 job. And why are they so afraid to look at something? They dismiss it before they even know what we're all about.
It might be so.
There's something different here.
Yeah, Lila. Well, we hear of lords of karma, and maybe it is that we have to go through these experiences in this cause and effect psych realm stuff to purify our hearts, because we experience what we cause, and we don't want to do things that we don't like the effects of over and over and over and over. We don't want to do that forever, so we want to change instead of being a soldier or something and going and killing people and thinking that is something that is necessary or important for survival. It seems like if I was a lord of karma, I'd give the humans hell, real hell, to make them get to a point where they would want to change.
Yes, it's a change. It's wanting a change. And maybe, you know, it seems to me that people have to go through the very blackest and the very most unpleasant experiences in this life, but they fight for the glory, you know, that they hope that things will get better, and it doesn't get better, and then they're finally just beat down in a corner, and when they're beat down so far, that's when they start looking, and that they start being creative, you know. What is this really all about? They ask questions. It seems like we have to be beaten down to that point before we really look. Do you think that's a possibility there?
I think that you're right about being beat down. That's like gold being purified. Beat the impurities out of it to get the pure heart to be able to leave this psych realm stuff and not have to return.
Yes, and that's the beauty of this. You don't have to return to the psychic realms. And that would be motivation enough for anybody, you know, but then they get scared. But
it's like It's like the Illuminati on this earth, or the cabal, or whatever they're called. They seem to have been given the authority. They're the powers that be, and they seem to be aware of their ability to reincarnate, and they seem to like it in this psych realm where they control other people and they want to be prayed to or looked up to and all these things, instead of caring about others.
No.
It seems like
well, that's, yes, I think that's right. But it seems to me, too, you know, that suppose you have all the money in the world, and just what you wanted, you know, you could go anywhere, do anything, control everybody, just, you know, you have the best yachts, you'd have everything. And now you'd be bored. So what's the thing that you would really want to make your life interesting if you really had that? Morgans and, you know, those, they have everything that they could possibly want. So what are that would make them motivated to move? Well, I'm thinking money, power, and sex. Those are the motivations that I think that really turns them on, and it's the power that they can do anything. But you know, after a while, you'd think they get tired of that, too. That's just another thing to do, you know. So what would be the point of money, power, and sex? You know, so what? You know, but I guess. You know, I'm thinking the reptilians would be, I guess there's enough planets out there or something that would keep them busy. But that seems so empty to me. I just don't understand that. What would keep them going, the elites?
We've heard
they
from,
wouldn't be aware.
We've
go
heard
ahead,
from
Val.
Dwayne and Claudia about the Queen of Orion, and she's a good example of someone who's had a chance, had an opportunity to do better, and she didn't. There's a story behind it, but she didn't take the opportunity to do better, so she was put in the Phantom Zone. And then she was given another opportunity to get out of the Phantom Zone. She saw what it was like. She was down to nothing. She was going to start over as a, you know, one-celled organism, an amoeba, and start all over again, start the whole evolutionary cycle over again. She still didn't want it. She still had arrogance. It was her arrogance that brought her back again, and now she's permanently in the Phantom Zone. So a lot of these elites, I see that they just get in a self-destructive cycle where they can't even, they get so deep into it, they can't get out. They're just absorbed in their own importance. And it's very difficult. I see Harry, too. He's so far down now. Harry from the corporation, he keeps going on stage and basically deceiving people, most of those sincere members there. Now, where is he going with that? I mean, he's digging himself into a really deep, deep place where it's going to be very difficult for him to get out of. So they're digging their own grave, so to speak, by their decisions. And I think they just get so absorbed in the power aspect, and for the queen, she thought she was indestructible. Like, you can't, you know, she's so arrogant that she didn't think anybody could do anything to her. So it just gets very real.
We have examples like the president, would he give up his power, or the Queen of England? They like that, their mansions and their money and their power over others, and to be able to make people do what they want. They're authoritarian conscious beings. That's what they think is important to them.
What is having the power over her? Well, the England, at any rate, that's her realm. But I suppose she's expanded to, from there. But you think that, this new baby, you know, and the new generation of great-grandchildren to her, are her children and grandchildren, are they aware what their grandmother is like, really?
Probably,
I mean,
from previous lives. They're probably reptilian.
Oh. Well, yeah, the grandchildren. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, they're probably reptilians.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. And the new babies, too. Boy, and they haven't even gotten to their real power yet. I suppose as they go older and their children grow up, you know, this power and stuff, you can't keep that under your hat all the time. It's going to come out somehow with the children and the grandchildren. And that's kind of scary in a way, because now, yeah, that's why the Queen is smiling so much when she sees that new Archie. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, she'll be able to pass on all this destruction and the power, and because they really haven't shown it yet, the children, the grandchildren, haven't shown their real self yet. Very interesting. Anyway,
like the Pope. Yeah, the Pope too. They're unaware of any other realms, it seems like, of real universes.
Yes, you know, and it's a wonder why people don't look up, you know, at the stars. There's so many. And there's Milky Way, there's universes upon universes. I mean, this is huge. And people don't seem to take an interest, maybe, you know, like the exploratorium, or just getting a telescope and for your kids or yourself and seeing what's out there. I guess that's not as exciting as hip-hop or whatever they're dancing, you know. Well, anyway, I could go on. So the second area, what? The second area.
I was just going to say. Oh,
what?
Go ahead. Go ahead,
Lila. Okay. The second area, which many people have decided to reside in, is what is known as the gray area. All of us really live with ourselves. And so those who have not decided to go into the higher levels of life and are standing in the lower ones, these individuals are at what one would consider to be a standstill position. Again, everyone has a right to choose their life accordingly. And so this is where Many have decided to be for as long as they want. The third and lowest area to reside in mainly deals with the gods of man and the lords of karma, as does the gray area. This area is the dark arena of the round world, such as the Earth and all the other planets and systems that exist with the light of fire from worlds on fire. Without the fire world, there would be no light. Then it would be more than obvious where the Earth is positioned. But as long as the Earth has an atmosphere, then it will appear as though there is a blue sky above. Of course, there is beauty throughout all the levels of life, but not all of them contain a real darkness like that of the material realm. Whoa, this is the darkness, the darkest of all, oh my goodness sake. The law of karma holds sway here, along with the authoritarians and the brutalians who cover the earth. A person can reincarnate many times as they wish here. It's all a matter of choice. The basic scenario will always be to be born again, unconscious, and then strive to survive until one is too old to endure. Most people are at the mercy of their unconscious mind, that which has many parts to it. Those reading this information may think there are books to be had to gain this information, but that's not so, because the real guides are able to move in the ethers of the many levels of life and gain real experience as to how the various parts of man work. Ancient scriptures are mainly about poetic sayings and moral codes to live by, which are like the nice little relationships all of us had with our parents when we were young. But as we grew up and too big for the pretty little sayings they gave us, we were more interested in the adventures of life. Many of the old verses and sayings do have their place. But if we were to stick to the age-old idea of man is not meant to fly, then where would we be now with our technology? Ribazar has always made it a point that a person must take risks and live a more dangerous life and not just dilly-dally about, and to be ho-hum. Taking risks brings about experiences that otherwise cannot be known. When it comes to a person's mind, most people are in agreement with what they have been told and instructed to do from others. Race car drivers and their team usually build a car from the ground up, and so they know exactly what their creation needs to succeed. Yet most people will not take the time to understand the world that they live in, nor the workings of their own being. To depend upon those who have done the most damage to this world seems to be a rather immature thinking and dangerous. Many people do not want to know what the real truth is, but all the obstacles for them to perceive real truth will show up as they pursue their endeavor, and so most will fall back for fear of not being able to succeed or are intimidated at what they are attempting to do. This principle of opposites attracting exists in the lower realms as a reality to all who are here. The real guides have learned to deal with the calendaristic power and are indifferent to it. But the masses and the Taplane connections, they have to all the negative forces makes for an upheaval when a person decides to follow the real guidance. This is why Paul gave his students several years to test what he was presenting before a person could fully be committed to themselves, to take on the task of meeting the many parts of themselves. The first 2 years are a runoff of a person's karma so they can better adjust to the real universes. As they are being prepared to make the journey, when a person is unaware and unconscious to what this life entails, then the gods are happy. But when the real guides show up and start providing real experiences in a person's dream visions, then the gods are not happy, and they do not want to lose any of their inmates. So the Kalum God will use every means possible to sway a person from leaving the worlds of Maya. The rep systems are based upon fear. They also fear if people find out what they are really doing and possibly telling others, because in their minds, they think they will soon have no followers to support them. But actually, the opposite is true, because most people do not have any real courage, and so they are not ready to enter the real universes during this life. Being so, the rep systems will always have naive followers who love to bow and kneel to them and their invented gods. Many are ready to take the journey past what their minds know at this level, but most, if not all of them, do not have the perception to recognize this fact. So when they are having real experiences in their real awareness, and as it comes through the various bodies and down to the conscious mind, of course the sensor is going to alter it, or may not even let it pass to all the person's dreaming. If a person has a strong religious background, yet their heart is basically pure, they will gain experience from the higher levels in spite of the dogma that they are hooked to with their mind and emotions. But as the experience tries to unveil itself, as dark forces do not want it to happen, so they will set off an alarm in some way, like a person trying to escape from prison. And so the individual and their dreams are either altered a great deal or eliminated altogether. This is where, like anything we experience in this life, it takes a real persistence to overcome our own shortcomings and conditioning. Sometimes it becomes even more of a challenge with not only ourselves, but those around us, and our family and friends will sometimes jump in and say they think what they're doing or planning does not fit any standard. What the real guys are presenting really does not fit the standards of demise most humans have invented. An example is a person who can do all the right things, go to the best schools, marry the most wonderful person, and have beautiful children, and succeed almost perfectly with the greatest of careers. And with all of this, one would think they have reached the pinnacle of life. But the real truth is, they have only played the game the dualistic powers have set up for them. So they will be returning to a new body in the future and will have forgotten once more that they ever were here. Gee, that's pretty scary. To clarify, is I am not saying just because a person chooses to stay with their one-dimensional life that they are making the so-called wrong move. Not at all. It is a fact that the most part that social indoctrination leads most people to think they are really accomplishing something with just an outer existence alone, and that a person does not need any other mental, emotional, intuitive, and most of all, perceptive realities with their present lifestyle. Because of this narrow and ingrained one-dimensional approach, which is actually a controlling factor and part of the overall takeover from the officialness of this planet, this world is like it is today, with all the agreement to the idea that things have gotten better and are still doing so, when actually they are much worse and getting worse all the time, because most people want to stay asleep with all the phenomena the dark-sided certain few have established and are constantly projecting into the minds of the masses. The world is not a bad place, but the choices each person makes will always equal what becomes evident, as all that is seen today is proof of this. Oh, yes, it can be so that most people cling to the idea of hope, as most public officials have used this idea to create a snow job for the unaware to be elected by. A person can hope all they want, but there are still huge choices being made here, and the end result will be what they are. My suggestion, get real guidance. Then learn to pay attention to the real guides and free yourself, starting now. The whole of life, not just the little worlds that humans live on, is all becoming more aware, because the basic reality of living is survival. Not just going to the movies or finding a date and getting the best deal on a car or house one wants to buy. These are things that make up a small portion of one's activities here. But to make it the one and only lifestyle soon becomes a total waste. This is where the rep systems have marketed mankind into a constant dilemma. Everyone wants something while they're here, and so it is, as we are all partly human, but most people always go for the phenomena and not the real value. My position is even harder than those wondering if what I am presenting is real or not. Anyone can prove what I am presenting to themselves, then they will know for sure, but even then they wonder about it until they are confronted with their own real experiences. When I first took the Rod of Power, the new wave, I received an email from a fellow in Alaska, a member of the corporation. He was wondering about the several experiences that he had with Rivazar Tars, where he saw Gerald and Rivazar pointing to a tall blonde fellow that was standing in a shaft of light. I personally spoke with this fellow, but as time went on and he stated that he was going to stay with Gerald and his official position, here is where emotional attachment becomes more than it should. I too have attachments to things, but at the same time, I let them go as I evolve with my own real awareness. That's pretty true, isn't it? I think the more we let go, the freer we'll be. And also, we will have more strength for the next thing to come. Anything to say about that?
Yeah, letting go. Letting go to Dr. Tuffy for all the bodies that we've created, letting go of the ideas, considerations, and attitudes. It's a tough one because we spent lifetimes investing in certain things, and so a lot of these lifetimes were devout, like Catholics or devout Buddhists or devout family men or with attachments to our mates or families, and we're sincere and but here you go again, like Lila read, the fellow who had a good job and family and everything was okay, but he's coming back again. So that's not it. It's the recognition of this reality, the isness, that is really the freedom that everybody's looking for. And so getting through these bodies of ours is not easy. It's ongoing because there's always something else to be uncovered. You get through something and there's something else that you may not have been aware of because it's way back there in the subconscious. But if we're willing to face them, then everything's okay. We're willing to go through it, and with the right intent, it'll be okay. Everything's okay.
Looking at yourself, who rules you? Do you rule you, or is somebody else? Has your decision brought you to where you are? Probably, quite likely. But you've decided is what your life is now. That's a concept that I don't think a lot of people want to look at. Anyway.
Do you have something, Tim? Do you want to speak?
Yeah. I was just thinking about letting go of things. And it's almost like in all of our experiences, we may have to experience the astral hell that people don't seem to be aware of and aren't, I guess you'd call it, afraid of going there by the actions that they do, but that it's like if we get out of astral hell and we come back into a new body and we're given the chance again, and if we let go of the things that sent us to the astral hell and focused on being pure and sincere and humble and grateful to have the chance to get out of this psych realm stuff with an astral hell and things and cause and effect creation, that that's what it sounds like. The real universes are pure and sincere and humble and grateful. So that must be what the pure heart is, to be able to be in the real universes.
I didn't understand what you said here later. What was that you said? Excuse me. Could you repeat that? That's pretty good, so I need repeating.
All right, Lila. I was saying that if we go to the astral hell for things that we've done in previous lives, that the Lords of Karma sentenced us to a place called astral hell, one of the lower regions in the astral place, and it was very unenjoyable, or whatever you want to call it, like a nightmare or something, and then you're let out of the astral hell, you come out and you get a new body here on Earth, and you have the opportunity now to change, to let go of the things that you were attached to that caused you to go to the astral hell. So you find the focus is to be pure and sincere and humble and grateful as a means of earning your way into the real universes, where everything is pure and sincere and humble and grateful. Something like that, I was saying.
Yes, just the words, you know, humble and sincere and all those. I mean, they're great words, but to live with them, you know, every day, that takes a lot. It takes a lot of concentration and sincere, and you looking at your heart and doing that. But I find it's a simple thing. It's just the words "thank you" has a lot of power. Just thank you. People are surprised when you do little things and for them. I mean, you know, for you or you for them. You can remember to say thank you for everything. I think that holds a lot of power. That gets us on the way to humble and thank you for all the gifts and the things. And just thank you for passing me the salt.
Yeah, that's very important. It's like if we didn't have the real guidance to be thankful for the real guides, it looks like we're pretty trapped in this like realm stuff. So we should be very thankful for the opportunity and the guidance and the education to have a chance to earn our way out if we pay attention how to do it.
Yes. I think that's really, really, really true. Just those simple words. I think people have forgotten that, to say thank you. It's just such a powerful thing, really. It may not seem it, but, you know, people are kind of taken aback at that if you say thank you for things that are just ordinary things.
It's also like what would we say to people that are listening? Would we be asking them with the word please for your own good, pay attention? Is that influencing them, or they have to decide for themselves? But please seems like you're sincere in trying to help someone else become aware of what's real.
Yeah, well, people are pretty concerned with themselves, though, you know? And that's where I feel that people really, when they're backed into a corner, then they'll start to look. They find the courage to really look and see what their life is really about. I guess it takes that kind of person, you know? Anyway, to continue, I had parents and loved ones here, but when they left this realm, I let them be, because they're on their own chosen journey, and as I am on mine. While they were here, I had attachments to them, but then broke the unnecessary ties with them so they could continue their own life without me interfering. I think that's rather interesting that while they were here, I had parents and loved ones here, but when they left this realm, I let them be, because they are on their own chosen journey, as I am on mine. While they were here, I had attachments to them, but then broke the unnecessary ties with them so they could continue their own life without me interfering. When people die, that everybody grieves and they don't know what to do. But if they could just really just pay attention to what I said here, or what Dwayne said. While I'm here, I had attachments to them, my family, but then broke the unnecessary ties with them so they could continue their own life without me interfering. Wow, I think that's a lot.
You can always look them up again on the real site. There's always, nobody's ever lost or disappears. They're always around, so there's always a decision you can make to be with them again, or Dwayne calls the love a decision that you make. Not other than that, it's just the decision to love somebody, so you can do it again if you want. They're still around. There's agreement. It's not like you know, they're off doing their thing on the real side, but so you can always look them up again.
Then you pick up their attachments again, and that with your attachment to that person again, and that doesn't sound so good.
Well, it looks like Dwayne let go of the attachment.
What?
From what you read, he let go of the attachment.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
And yes.
So there's no reason to pick it up again. You can let go and then start a new attachment if you want.
Yeah.
It sounds like there was an agreement made to for him to come into that body and be involved with those people. They had to agree to that too, for things to come out the best for everybody involved. Lessons or whatever it is.
My direction is with the is, and very few will have the intent to stand with the all is, as it is too much for most and far too acceptable that it even exists at all. Life loves the risk taker, and unless one is willing to go into the unknown and have real experiences, then they will stay with what they have always known, which is usually something devised by the Kalu god and his subordinates. It is not my concern what people do. I'm living my adventure with Shuzar, Paul, Yubel, and all the real gods, as they are not interested in teaching those who want to pray and worship a headmaster and his mate that rules them. There is no way around how life already is, and it is far more than anything a person feels comfortable with on this earth alone. Each one of us can have whatever we want, but if it becomes more than what the whole of life is, then what good is it? The hidden center and its conditioned training are first given by a person's parents, and then from the social order and the environment one grows up in. All of these particulars form the center's attitude that each person goes by. All the do's and don'ts, rights and wrongs, along with whatever else one is conditioned with, become the avenues of approach that are set into motion in the dream arenas of the conscious mind. For the most part, all the particulars of a person's upbringing are along the social values set down by the parents, usually according to how the parents have been taught from their parents or sort of social status. And so, it's not hard to see how the continued cycle of rebirth and death follow most people for hundreds of lifetimes. One attitude can haunt a person for the longest time as each of us enter this arena as a newborn. We carry with us all the accumulation of the past and what it entails. As long as there is some form of association, for those who are fortunate to meet the real guides in this life, they will be shown and taken to wonderful worlds and universes beyond one's imagination and never have to return here. Because of past and even the present situations one must go through may pose so many different situations, it's best to have the real guidance as soon as possible. Those who do not know of the real guides may choose something along the lines of sensitivity training, which Paul Twitchell did not recommend as an avenue for cure. He said it breaks down the sensor and creates confusion with the person involved. It brings about a lack of protection for the person and leaves them at the mercy of the unconscious mind. Paul firmly went over the aspects of the psychic sciences, such as ESP and witchcraft, and so many other medical, physical, and even so-called spiritual teachings, as they impose a real danger to people from the lower astral world and all the negative entities who reside there. I know a fellow in San Diego who told me of his experience when he used to do astral projection. Every day after work, he would come home and go to his closet and leave his body. After a while, there was a lot of strange happenings around his house that were also affecting his mate. Where he lived, he was connected with a man that was very aware of the other world and who was his mentor at the time and told him what was taking place. As he was re-entering his body each time, he was dragging back ruthless entities from the astral world who were now in his aura. A person's aura is a protective field that all of us have around us. And when we involve ourselves in certain aspects, such as drugs, smoking, low vibrational music, emotional trauma, and psychic sciences, and then there becomes a negative penetration and thus influences begin to occur. This is not uncommon with those who play with the psychic arts. At first, it all looks good, just like going into a website that looks interesting and fun. But what eventually happens is there becomes a solid connection with these other areas. And then the influence starts to take place. Adolf Hitler played around with the psychic forces and self-destructed, along with helping to create meth and giving it to all his men and himself. He finally went crazier than he was when he first had the Third Reich idea. With real guidance, one can be given real experiences and learn to bypass the conditioning effects from the past and live a much better life and also attain real freedom now. I think it's just about time for Betty Bye and our bedtime story with this, and I hope you all enjoyed it and could think about this and what is real here. Aren't you after the what is real instead of being manipulated? So, what do you say? Do you want to say goodnight, Dean?
Good new you.
Okay, and you too,
yeah.
My dear,
yeah.
Kim?
Yeah.
You.
Thanks, Lila and Val. We'll see ya.
Thanks, Tim.
Yeah,
thank
good
you,
night.
Tim.
Yeah, good night.
Stay
happy
cool.
dreams.
Stay cool.
See ya. Yeah, you too.
Bye.
See ya.